Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 9, entitled Brahma's Prayers for Creative Energy, Text 42. I am the Supersoul of every individual. I am the Supreme Director and the Dearest. People are wrongly attached to the gross and subtle bodies because they should be attached to me only. Purport. The Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, is the Dearest in both the conditioned and liberated states. When a person does not know that the Lord is the only dearmost object, then he is in the conditioned state of life. And when one knows perfectly well that the Lord is the only dearmost object, he is considered to be liberated. There are degrees of knowing one's relationship with the Lord, depending on the degree of realization as to why the Supreme Lord is the dearmost object of every living being. The real reason is clearly stated in Bhagavad Gita 15.7. Mamaivamso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanam. The living entities are eternally parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. The living entity is called the Atma, and the Lord is called the Paramatma. The living entity is called Brahman, and the Lord is called the Parabrahman, or the Paraneshwar. Ishvara Paramam Krishna. The conditioned soul who do not have self-realization accept the material body as the dearmost. The idea of the dearmost is then spread all over the body, both concentrated and extended. The attachment for one's own body and its extensions like children and relatives is actually developed on the basis of the real living entity. As soon as the real living entity is out of the body, even the body of the most dear son is no longer attractive. Therefore, the living spark, or eternal part of the Supreme, is the real basis of affection, and not the body. Because the living entities are also parts of the whole living entity, that Supreme Living Entity is the factual basis of affection for all. One has forgotten the basic principle of his love for everything as only flickering love because he's in Maya. The more one is affected by the principle of Maya, the more he is detached from the basic principle of love. One cannot factually love anything unless he is fully developed in the loving service of the Lord. In the present verse, stress is given to focusing love upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The word kuryat is significant here. This means one must have it. It is just to stress that we must have more and more attachment to the principle of love. The influence of Maya is experienced by the part and parcel, spiritual entity, but it cannot influence the Supersoul, the Paramatma. The Mayavadi philosophers, accepting the influence of Maya on the living entity, want to become one with the Paramatma, but because they have no actual love for Paramatma, they remain ever entrapped by the influence of Maya and are unable to approach the vicinity of Paramatma. This inability is due to their lack of affection for the Paramatma. A rich miser does not know how to utilize his wealth, and therefore, in spite of his being very rich, his miserly behavior keeps him everlastingly a poor man. On the other hand, a person who knows how to utilize wealth can quickly become a rich man, even with a small credit balance. The eyes and the sun are very intimately related, because without sunlight, the eyes are unable to see. But the other parts of the body, being attached to the sun as a source of warmth, take more advantage of the sun than do the eyes. Without possessing affection for the sun, the eyes cannot bear the rays of the sun, or in other words, such eyes have no capacity to understand the utility of the sun's rays. Similarly, empiric philosophers, despite their theoretical knowledge of Brahman, cannot utilize the mercy of the Supreme Brahman because they lack affection. So many impersonal philosophers remain everlastingly under the influence of Maya because although they indulge in theoretical knowledge of Brahman, they do not develop affection for Brahman, nor do they have any scope for development of affection because of their defective method. A devotee of the sun god, even though devoid of eyesight, can see the sun god as he is, even from this planet, whereas one who is not a devotee of the sun cannot bear the glaring sunlight. Similarly, by devotional service, even though one is not on the level of a jnani, One can see the personality of Godhead within himself due to this development of pure love. In all circumstances, one should try to develop love of Godhead, and that will solve all contending problems. Om Agyanati Nanandasya Gyanandana Salakya Shakshuram Minitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kanamayam Dadati Swapanantikam Vandeham Sri Gurau Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ramanatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sivisatam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindha Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaskute Tapta Kansana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Visvanam Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpadruvyacha Kripa Sindhu Vyacha Paditanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 So the opening of the purport is straight to the point. The Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, is the dearest in both the conditioned and liberated states. In the liberated state of pure devotional service, it is obvious that the Supreme Lord is the dearest. Because we can understand that the Supreme Lord is always intimately connected to every living being. In the spiritual world, where the living being is in its original consciousness as a devotee, or in the material world, where the living being is in forgetfulness, but where the Supreme Lord expands himself and is present as the super soul in the heart of every individual, trying to guide that individual as Upadrasta and Anumanta, as the overseer of everything that takes place, and as Anumanta, the one who gives permission, Anumiti, the one who allows the living being to fulfill desires, or sometimes when seeing that the living being is getting lost out of causeless mercy, frustrating the desires of the living being. So in this way, Krishna, his love for the living being is so strong that at all times Krishna is involved with the living being. Never is there a moment that the Supreme Lord is distant, or that the Supreme Lord is not directly involved with every living being. When we study Srimad Bhagavatam, then Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us information about the energies of the Supreme Lord. It describes the process of creation. And we see how that process of creation is actually very personal. We're seeing that, first of all, from the portholes of Lord Mahavishnu, when the universes appear, how then the Lord expands himself as Garbhadaksaya Vishnu within the universe, how from the lotus which sprouts from his navel, Lord Brahma appears. And then every living being is receiving a different bodily condition, and Krishna, as Kshirodaksaya Vishnu, becomes the super soul. In this way we see how Krishna is involved in so many ways. Krishna expands himself. First, he is Savior Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord, who is receiving the service of all living beings. Then he expands himself as Lord Balaram, as Sevak Bhagavan, as the Supreme Lord in the form of the servant. And in that way he is teaching as Adi Guru, as the original spiritual master, how to act, how the living being should act. Then Balaram expands himself into the Chaturvyuha, Vasudev, Sankarsan, Prajumna, Aniruddha. And in these forms, he is directly involved with the material energy. As Prajumna, he's controlling the mind. As Sankarsan, he is the origin of all jivas. As Vasudev, he is directly the super soul. And as Aniruddha, he is controlling the false ego, the ahankar, so that the living being can fulfill his desire and can forget. Sarvasya caham riti sannivistu matasmitir janam apovanam scha. From me come remembrance and forgetfulness. So Aniruddha, in this way, is providing this remembrance and forgetfulness so that the living being can try to fulfill some independent desires. But the Lord, Krishna, is waiting for the living being to return. Because the Lord is in separation of every living being. Therefore, as the living being is enjoying sense gratification, Krishna sometimes puts a little scent in the sweet rice. Just so that we go, it's not that good actually, this sense enjoyment. So that gradually we turn back to Krishna. And in this way, Krishna allows us some independence, and yet he's also intervening into our life and in trying to bring us back. And he's making actually endless arrangements for us to return back. Not only is he there as the super soul, but he also manifests through his devotees, who he empowers in various ways. Some living beings he empowers practically as good as himself. They are so much empowered that they are able to bring transcendental knowledge to all living beings and ignite great happiness in the heart. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in a purport in his Amrita Prabaha Bhashya commentary to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, is explaining the principle of empowerment. And he said, when one becomes empowered, one becomes empowered particularly with the Siddh potency and the Ananda potency, or the knowledge potency and the happiness potency. Because when we are in this material world, currently our eternal existence, our eternal aspect of existence, is covered by the temporary body.
cannot change, even through empowerment. No temporary body becomes eternal through empowerment. Only the spiritual body is eternal. But even while in the temporary body, one can become empowered to a point where one has full transcendental knowledge and full transcendental bliss. These two one can fully realize, and to the extent that one is empowered, these things are manifesting within the devotee. So like that, Krishna is also coming through his devotee. And in fact, aradhanam sarvesam vishnur aradhanam param tasmat parataram devi tadiyanam samarchanam. It is said serving Krishna through his devotee is even greater than serving Krishna directly. So it is mentioned. So in this way, through Srimad Bhagavatam, we begin to see how Krishna's mercy is surrounding us at all times. And we thought we were alone. We thought we were left alone. We thought we were abandoned. Because we don't see the presence of the Supreme Lord. Naham pakasa servasya yoga maya samavritaha. Who due to his material illusory energy remains covered from us. Guru Krishna Prasadabhaya Bhakti Lata Beach. It is through the mercy of the Vaishnava, of Guru and Krishna, that we are receiving devotional service. There is no other way. No one can just invent devotional service on his own. No one can just one day figure it out. It's not possible. Not devotional service. In personal liberation, yes, in due course of time, one can actually reach impersonal liberation on the strength of his own intellectual power. Just by logic, one can come to the impersonal understanding. For example, one might argue that what is spirit is not matter. Therefore, spirit must have an intrinsic different nature from matter. Therefore, whatever is in matter is not in spirit. Therefore, when there's quality in matter, saguna, then there cannot be quality in spirit, nirguna. And in this way, they will argue and say, and therefore, because there's form in matter, there can be no form in spirit. And therefore, they say, therefore, spirit is Brahman, and therefore spirit must be formless. And therefore, when we see any form, know that to be false. And therefore, since the whole universe is full of form and full of variety, therefore, jagat mitya, therefore the whole universe has to be false. So we can see the logic. Right? However, the first premise, right, the first beginning, is an assumption. It was a whole logical train of thought, but it started with an assumption. It started with the assumption that spirit cannot contain the qualities of matter. It poses spirit as opposite to matter. However, we see that the truth is that matter is a reflection of spirit. Matter is like the shadow of spirit, described in Bhagavatam as pratibimba. Therefore, matter is following spirit in so many ways. Although the shadow The shadow of our body is certainly following our body. When I move, my shadow moves. The nose is there, the glasses are there. You can see by the shadow, Kadamba Kanana Swami, you can recognize a person from the shadow. But yet, the shadow is only a representation. It's not complete. The shadow is by no means carrying all the qualities of the original body. The original body rather has color, it has all kinds of shapes, that lines and so on that are lost in the shadow. Totally lost. In the shadow we get the contours and that's about it. We get no color, we get no variety. So many things are missing. So much detail are missing. In the same way, in the pratibimba reflection of spirit into matter, so much is missing, yet so much is there at the same time. Therefore, Maya is so strong. It is said that there are three energies of the Lord, the Antaranga Shakti, the Tatastha Shakti, and the Bahiranga Shakti. The Antaranga Shakti is referring to the spirit soul, and to the spiritual energy of the Lord, to the Sandini, the Samvit, and the Ladini Shaktis, or the spiritual energy, the spiritual world, the living beings, the existence potency, the knowledge potency, the pleasure potency of the Lord, Antaranga Shakti. Then the Tatastha Shakti are the Jivas, who are the intermediate energy of the Lord. And then, lower than the living being, is the material energy, the Bahirangi Shakti. Bhagavad Gita states like that. Bhumirabho nalo vayu kamana buddhi vacha hunkaram ityame bhina prakriti astada. The eight separated material energies of the Lord. And then, apare amitas tanyam prakitim virime param jiva bhuta maha bahu yayenandayata jagat. Then there is a higher energy, which is apara. It is higher. It is higher than this material energy. And that's the living being. Then how is it that Maya is so strong and the living being is superior? How is it that it's practically impossible to overcome Maya? How is it that when the living being is facing Maya, that practically the living being has no chance and that Maya will defeat the living being and condition the living being by her potencies? Two potencies, the praksikatmika and the avaranatmika. The throwing potency, throwing opportunities, throwing possibilities of enjoyment. What we always wanted. Because Maya, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Maya is not just in the battle with Maya. Maya is not just the enemy standing on the other side. No, Maya has also infiltrated into our own ranks, just like in a war. There are spies that are with part of the enemy, but within our own army. In the same way, Maya has penetrated within. If Maya was only in front of us, it would be more easy. But Maya is within. Within also, within our consciousness. And Maya is saying, it is good, and yes, and we say, no, it's not good. Maya says, it is, it's very good, because you can have it now. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait for later. There is no such thing as a promise, one day you'll be self-realized. Now you can have, now. Immediate. Oh, that sounds indeed good because it's a long wait. I do feel the pangs of waiting for self-realization and some enjoyment now I also need. just wait forever. It's, Maya is right. Yes. So, the throwing potency, in this way, Maya is capturing us with our with material enjoyment. But then, Maya has 10 arms and weapons in these 10 arms, and one of the weapons is a trident. This is the trident of the trisum, the trident of the threefold miseries of material existence. Adiatmika, adibautika, adidaivika clays. Suffering from mind and body, suffering from other living beings, suffering from demigods or natural circumstances. Hold. A neighbor who's just causing disturbance. One devotee got himself the dream house, set it, decked it out really nice. Krishna pictures everywhere, everything really perfect. And then the Hell's Angels moved in next door. True story. He told me the story. It's like he had to move. And that was it. Just see, you know. Oh, gosh. Adibhauti clays, you know, suffering from other living entities. So, in this way, the threefold miseries, the trident of Maya, will attack just when we think, now I have the perfect situation within the material world. I have arranged for it all. Everything is fine. Even when we're Krishna conscious, even then the material energy doesn't cooperate. Just see. So the materialist has no Krishna consciousness and is just trying to make a comfortable situation in the material world. But Maya won't allow, and there is the suffering. This trident. It hurts, it's painful, it's nasty. Oh no, I'm cured now. Never again. No. No more sense gratification. Oh no, I'm giving it up. And then the next time, doo-doom, doo-doom, doo-doom. Oh my God, what's that? Oh, what I always wanted. Doo-doom, doo-doom, it's back, it's here. Oh no, Maya, I don't want it. Oh God, but it looks good. Maybe I can just very carefully nibble a little, just like a fish. You think a fish is blind? Have you noticed that fish have big eyes? Huge eyes. I mean, if we would have eyes the size of a fish, half of our body would be eyes, practically. It would be at least up to your navel, you know. Right? Big eyes, you think they can't see? They see. So this fish swims past and sees, oh my God, look at that. That worm. Oh God, but it's on a terrible hook. My God, look at that hook. It's brutal. It's beastly. It's absolutely horrible. But then, oh God, look at the worm. Oh gosh, that looks really tasty. Oh God, fat, juicy, delicious worm. Ah, yes, but nasty hook. What if I nibble a little of the side? Just on the side of the hook. I've got the formula. The formula to enjoy Maya without getting in trouble. And we nibble and nothing happens. Yay! I figured it out. Just careful, careful nibbles. But of course Maya is not only passively waiting for us to bite on the hook. That is the thing. Maya is active, and Maya makes an expert move of the wrist and suddenly moves the hook. But again, the evidence for this, this analogy, is found in the Premavivarta of Jagadananda Pandit, who said, Krishna Bhaya Mukahaya, Krishna Bhaya Mukahaya, Bhogavan Shikara, Nikitistamaya Tara Japatiyahaya. He says that when you start to get a little bit involved with the material energy, Maya is there not to wait till you fall down. Maya will slap you down. So, I mean, when I read that, I took note of it, you know, as like, that's something. Maya slaps you down. But anyway, then again we go for it, and again, even although we know the trident is coming, you know, and we sort of brace ourselves, and it's coming, the threefold miseries, and we say, like, well, anyway, it's bad, but it's not so bad, and, you know, and the enjoyment is good, you know, it's very good, so even a little suffering, I'll tolerate it somehow or other, and I say, you know, I get the enjoyment, and actually, if you never suffer, how can you appreciate the enjoyment? And we make a philosophy to tolerate the suffering, to justify the suffering, and the avaranatmika shakti, the covering potency of maya, has now kept us down into the material situation. And day by day, we get involved in more and more relationships with matter, and more struggling with the threefold miseries of material existence. And Krishna covers himself. Because how can we enjoy the material energy when we are reminded that all of this is actually a waste of time? Therefore, we just forget Krishna, we forget transcendental knowledge, and we forget, and Krishna helps us to forget, if that is what we desire. And then we start to think, oh, so many dear ones. Yes, my family, my pets, my friends, you know, so many people, so many living entities, very dear to me. And they become the most important. Even when we become a little God conscious, still, you know, like, my family is more dear to me. Like someone said in a program, someone mentioned this statement, which was interesting, and said that, I'm not sure if I want to go back to Godhead. I don't know anybody there. It's kind of revealing, isn't it? Kind of pointing out. But Srila Prabhupada pointed out that Krishna is our best friend. And then someone said, no, Srila Prabhupada, you are our best friend. And Prabhupada again said, no, I'm not your best friend. Krishna is your best friend. He said, because I am not omniscient. I am not omnipotent. I may disappoint you. I don't have the capacity to fully satisfy you. Only Krishna has. Therefore, Krishna is your best friend, actually. Because only Krishna has the power to fully satisfy all our desires. It's like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also made an interesting comment. He said that a lady wants a man who has all good qualities. That's what she wants. Of course, such a man doesn't exist. That's obvious. So, too bad. So that creates some frustration. And a man is again different. A man is not looking for a lady with all good qualities, but a man is appreciating all the good qualities of all women. And therefore it's hard for a man to limit himself to one. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta explains like that. Anyway, that also doesn't work. Right? No man can have all women. There's no, even although they want, they can't. It's not possible. So it's interesting because it says something about the psychology of the conditioned soul. Who's looking for happiness in the wrong direction? A misdirected, misguided civilization. It is devotional service. It is Srimad Bhagavatam that can bring about a change. Tadvati sargo janataka viplavo yasmin pratislokam abadavati api namani anantasi yasum kitani yat srimanti grinanti kayanti salava. It is by hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam that gradually we can become uplifted. Gradually we can come to the point of taking up devotional service. In the beginning of this talk, I made the point that no one can on his own discover devotional service. Then I spoke about the Mayavadi who on the strength of logic tries to figure out what is spirit, and he can at best come to understanding of Brahman, but he can never understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because that's beyond, the Lord is beyond our imagination. One cannot imagine the beauty of the Lord because we have nothing to compare it to. Srila Prabhupada speaks about the frog in the well, in the ocean, and who's trying to imagine the ocean. The ocean? Is it like bigger than my well? Oh yes, much bigger. I mean a double well, 10 times my well. And in acting it out, he's also blowing himself up until he explodes. Because you cannot conceive of it. We can only conceive of things that we have a comparison of. We compare things, one thing to another. Something is big, something is small, if we compare it to something. Otherwise, if there's nothing to compare it to, it's neither big nor small. It's only in comparison that things are big or small. Everything in comparison. So we have no comparison. Therefore, with our own analytical power, we can never understand the Supreme Lord. So much for the Jnani, for the Mayavadi, for the impersonalist, for the Jnani who by strength of his own intellect is trying to understand the truth. Then so much for the Karmi, who is trying to enjoy his senses and gets entangled in a network of karmic reactions due to his attempts to enjoy matter. And day by day becomes more and more covered by that material energy. So I have described so far the Jnani and the Karmi and how the entanglement works. But now let us turn to the Bhakta, who receives transcendental knowledge from a devotee. Now, how does it work? It may come directly or indirectly. Directly, a devotee may actually approach us and have a direct exchange and directly give us some mercy. We were waiting for a bus stop to go to a program in a city called Rotterdam, which is a terrible city because it was bombed to pieces in the Second World War, and then it was rebuilt in the Netherlands by architects after the Second World War who were smoking dope and the city looks like that. It really looks like that. And I can prove it to you, because in the center of the city, there's a row of houses, and they are just square cubes. Yeah? But that's not all. These square cubes, they stand on their point. They stand on one point. And they have windows looking down and windows looking up. And that's in the center of Rotterdam. You can understand, the architect was smoking a few too many, had a paperweight in the form of a block, and said, you know what? I'll put it on a point far out. Absolutely insane. I have actually been in those houses, and you either look down or up. You see the ground or the sky, but you don't have a normal view. No sober person could stay in such a place. So anyway, I was in Rotterdam, in this place, in this miserable place, and it's not surprising that it's a city full of drug addicts. So we were standing at a bus stop on the way to go to a program, and then this junkie came and says, hey man, you got a gilda, you know, hey man. So I have lived in India, and in India you kind of learn how to deal with beggars, you know. Never look them in the eye, right? Cold face, and move your head. No eye contact. No smile, nothing. And they go, right? You know. That's it, you know, get rid of any beggar like that, you know. If you want to do it the Vaishnav way, you do that, and at the same time you make a gesture from the heart, like, you know, from the head to the heart. Which means, please forgive me, you know, I'm full of compassion, but move on. So, okay, I learned all these things in India. So I did my Indian trick on this beggar, and he was gone in no time. And then we were going to the program, and there was a new bhakta. And he called him back. He says, wait, don't go. I said, oh, no. They're sending me out with a new bhakta. He called him back. And then he says, wait, I have something for you. He reaches in his bag and he pulls out a piece of apple, a brown piece of apple from breakfast, and he holds it up in the air and he says, Prasadam! Yeah. Full faith, and he says, open your mouth! And the guy did it. And the bhakta, very determined, popped the brown apple into his mouth. And there he got the mercy. There he got human birth. He was definitely on the way of being an animal. But he got human birth, as Srila Prabhupada told us, by this piece of apple. Now let us look at that for a moment. So this is known as Abhyata Sukriti, unknown spiritual benefit. And many of those who are covered, either by impersonalism or by sense gratification, they cannot just take to devotional service. They're too covered. But Agyata Sukriti works. A piece of apple, or a Harinam party, or in some other way, devotees who've left some mercy. Invitations left in a university. Universities have usually very tamasic messages. Right. I saw in one university, I took a picture of it, there was a poster which said, sell books, buy beer. And that's usually a typical university message. Sell your study books and buy beer. South Africa. One of your favorite universities. Yes. So, what can I say? Tamagun is strong. But then in the middle of that, suddenly a little Krishna. So devotees can arrange it. And a poster can do everything. I never bought a book from the devotees. I saw them with their wigs. They never stopped me. I used to cross the street and avoid them. pick them a mile distance, just like India, you know? Wearing a wig. Isn't it, Sanya? It's a wig. Yeah, come on. You glued it on. It's a wig. Yeah. I can spot them a mile distance. Anyway, so I used to avoid the devotees, but then somehow or other a book came anyway. It was on the shelf of a friend who was totally in ignorance, and I looked at his books and said, "Hey, what's that? Can I borrow that?" He said, "Yeah, you can have it. I never read it. Bhagavad Gita as it is, I got it anyway." Some way or other, it reaches us indirectly. So the mercy comes indirectly or directly. So first there is the need for some agyata sukriti, some unknown benefit, to bring us to a point of sufficient piety so that we finally open up and to the devotees and are willing to listen to them and willing and open to the mercy. And then we hear, and then when we, there's still some more agyata sukriti until we come to the point, more unknown spiritual benefit, until we finally come to the point where we say, yes, I am ready to take it up, I'm ready to surrender. Of course, then we're still not ready to surrender, but at least we start to consciously make an effort to become Krishna conscious. And then, at least theoretically, we start to remind ourselves, Krishna is the dear most. Of course, we still love our dog more than Krishna, but anyway, what to do? So gradually, then we can cultivate. Anyabhilasitasumyan jnana krimadhyanavritam. Then Krishna anushilanam. We give up all interest in jnana, all interest in karma, all interest in personal liberation, all interest in sense gratification. And we begin the cultivation of Krishna consciousness. And then, yes, then akama sarva kama amokshika udaribhiti vena bhakti yoga, whether we have material desires or not, we apply ourselves to the process, then we can reach uttama bhakti, or pure transcendental devotional service. And then love of God can awaken. Okay, with that, I've in a nutshell tried to sort of cover the subject matter of the verse and the purport. So, any questions? Srila Prabhupada, in one lecture, which I happened to be listening to 3 days ago, was explaining Maya is like the police. So Maya is there for the criminals. Yes. And Prabhupada said, if you're a criminal, then Maya will give you so much trouble. But if you're not a criminal, then there's no problem. It's like when you're not a criminal, the police will not give you any difficulty. But when you're actually criminals, and we're actually ignoring the laws of the Supreme Personality of God and causing disturbance. Criminals cause disturbance. They cause suffering to others. So we are not innocent. We are guilty. It's not that Maya is harassing us. We are criminals. We're causing suffering to others. We're causing a lot of suffering in the world. And therefore, Maya is arresting us, tying us up and sort of punishing us and saying, Maya, why are you doing this to me? You know, I'm the nicest guy in the world. Why don't you leave me alone? It's not fair. I'm completely sincere. Because we're not so sincere, actually. We're thoroughly corrupted. We're corrupted. So it takes purification. Not even just purification of bad qualities, but it even takes purification of our motivation. our motivation is not so pure. Sometimes people accuse us and they say, like, you know, escapist. Yeah? Escapist. You know? Take responsibility. Get a job. You know? Get married. Go get a job. Escapist. And of course you say, demon. How dare you say such a thing about a Vaishnava? You know what you're doing? You're blaspheming the Vaishnava. Oh, demon. Yeah.
Hellfellas.
But the truth of the matter, maybe, a little bit of us are escapists. Work in a job from Monday to Friday, from 9 to 5. It's easier to live in a temple and say, oh, sorry, Prabhu. You came 2 hours late for your service. Had to chair my rounds, Prabhu. You know. It's pretty easy, you know, walking in any temple in the world and saying, where's prasads? And just rocking up in time. So in some ways, we live very sheltered lives, quite comfy, compared to the struggle for existence in the material world. So is our motivation that pure? Did we really only come because we want to serve Krishna and surrender our lives to Krishna? Or did we come because we didn't like to work, we didn't like so many other things, and now we are here in the temple. Our life is good. I was in one temple in East Africa in 1979. And, it was like, did the life members bring the fruit already? Yes, they did. Oh, are there any mangoes? No, only papayas. Only papayas? Gosh. Any programs today? Yes, there's a program at the Guptas. Oh, the Guptas, I'm going to that one. Mrs. Gupta, you know, I mean, she's a whiz in the kitchen. Is this the Sankirtan Yagya? Is this the preacher who is, you know, going to every town and village, apituljerte darshina, he's swargapavarga narakeshu apituljerte darshina, he's ready to go to hell or to heaven, he's equal-minded to preach Krishna consciousness. Is that us? Or are we more like, well, in a comfort zone, we can reflect and we can on these things sometimes, and we can question our own motivation. Am I here just to serve Krishna, or am I here because in some ways it's easy? So even the motivation needs to be purified. So how sincere are we? So we are criminals. And still, some criminal tendencies are there. Even when we are dressed up like this, doesn't mean all the criminal tendencies are gone. So when Maya sees some criminal tendencies, there she is again. Bouncing some potencies in front of us. But otherwise, Haridas Thakur had no material desire. Maya tested him. And then, after duly tested him, she found he's free and she surrendered to him. She did not harass him. So the pure devotee is beyond. Srila Prabhupada also would say, you can fall down, but I cannot. Fully transcendent. So, we are converted criminals. And that's why Maya is still policing us. Yes?
According to the last time of Srila Prabhupada, the disciples were saying that you are our best friend, and Prabhupada saying that that's Krishna. How do we understand
Yeah, you can say that. You can also say he is our best friend. But when Prabhupada said it, it wasn't just that this was an exhibition of Prabhupada's humility. Prabhupada meant it because he logically explained it, that the living being by nature is limited, and that therefore no living being in this world has the capacity to fulfill all our desires. And that the only one who can fulfill all our desires is Krishna. And that therefore the pure devotee can give us Krishna. Right? But he himself cannot do it. Therefore ultimately, Krishna is our best friend. That was Prabhupada's point. Only Krishna is the one who can fulfill all our desires. Therefore look at Krishna. Turn to Krishna. Don't turn to anyone else for fulfilling our desires. Turn to Krishna. He is the only one who can actually fulfill all our desires. No one else. Even the spiritual master, he can give you Krishna. On his own he cannot do. He can give you Krishna. To the extent that he can give you Krishna, he can give you happiness. Therefore Krishna is our best. A little louder.
Just on the first question that Guru asked, how does our motive get purified?
How does
our motive get purified?
Still missing that one word, Amarendra?
Motive.
Our motives. Sorry, Flo. Yeah. I'm from far away. I have a different accent where I live. You know. It's not.
Huh?
Not so much.
I tried. Anyway.
It's going to be a nice weekend, too.
Nice weekend.
Yeah, seeing so many people. Seeing so many people we haven't seen for ages.